Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back at the studio, and our man Chris Childers, SiriusXM College Sports, has joined us live on location. What's up?
Not much. It's been a crazy week to cover college football.
I would say so. The Lane train, Penn State might be calling your co-host Rick Neuheisel at this point.
Rick said today that he would – he's like, at this point, he's just going to drive to State College and park outside of Pat Kraft's office and just say, I can help you. I can help you,
right?
And I'll take the job. That's what he said today. He'll just drive there and say, I can help, and he'll bring Jerry with him.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, what do you got? What do you got to lose? But, I mean, I've said this to him, that I feel like I'm just waiting for Brian Kelly to show up and go, hey, I got you, you know, because he's got his stuff figured out. He's getting his buyout from LSU.
Yeah. You know, I wonder how that would go over. I really like Brian Kelly. I think Brian's a really good coach. I know him personally. They could do worse.
Sure.
But how would it be received? Probably not the best, right?
Right. So I'm curious because, and again, you would be better equipped to answer this because you do know him and you meet a lot of these guys and talk to a lot of these guys. I think he's a jerk. Like, I've never been a fan of his.
Can you tell me why? Because I have a lot of background here.
Yeah, right.
And now I'm not going to disagree with you.
Like,
do you have a personal experience?
No, and that's the thing. Okay. That's why I'm prefacing this. Like, I don't have the personal relationship.
Yeah.
I've never met him. It's just everything. You know, the stuff with my family, and it just, he's always come across a little phony to me.
So, agree.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you a little bit more. So,
okay.
I really like Brian, and I think Brian is a really good football coach, and I think he works hard, and I think he is a decent person. Is he a great person? Not really. So, he's the kind of guy that, if he were to sit down with us right now, he would talk to us. He'd have a big smile on his face. He'd play the game. He'd be like, oh, my God, guys, good to see you. And then the second we walked away, he'd be talking crap about us, probably. You're saying something, how we're doofuses or something like that. So, like, there is that element
of
the guy.
So it's Calipari.
In some words, yeah. You know, there is that element to the guy, I would say. But overall, I think he's a modern football coach.
Sure.
I mean, these guys, think about the jobs they have. They're like politicians. I mean, the way they have to play the sides, and ultimately, if you don't win, then they dig up every little thing in your background. But if you deliver on the bacon and you cut taxes and all that stuff, they're going to cheer you. So for Brian Kelly, he didn't win enough at LSU.
Right.
But he did win a lot at Notre Dame.
Yep.
And I was of the mind when so I will just give you my preface. When he was hired at LSU, I thought best possible hire they could have made.
Right.
To me, he took Notre Dame as far as he could.
Yep.
And kind of maxed out. And then he realized LSU had championship resources. Now, the world changed. Think about that.
Yep.
After he went to LSU, all of a sudden, we had this monumental court case. The Alston case, June 21st, 2021. It's the most important day in college sports history. And I reference it all the time because it truly is. And it's the day that the NCAA lost power over, you know, essentially being an amateurism sport. So because of that, Notre Dame got power again.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing that Notre Dame has that Alabama doesn't have and some of the other schools, many, many rich people that are alumnus, that care, that have pockets, that will give Marcus Freeman or whoever the coach is everything he needs to be successful. Brian might have left early before realizing things were going to change. And then he went into an environment that he didn't fit.
Yeah.
Brian's a Boston guy. I'll say this. I think I can shed a little bit of light on it. You know, like going from Boston to Baton Rouge or even South Bend to Baton Rouge is like two planets. I moved from Chicagoland to the Nashville area in the fall of 2000. And it was so weird because when I was talking to my peers and I was pledging the fraternity and all that, there were so many times we couldn't understand each other. and we're speaking the same language. But at that moment in time, I had a really thick accent, you know, like I would say Wisconsin and stuff like that. So I remember asking where my friend Tom was, and they kept telling me it was 2:30. I was asking what time it was, and then with the Southern accent. So there can be, you know, I know it's the United States of America, but there can be you're a fish out of water. Now, do I think State College, Pennsylvania would be a lot more comfortable for them?
Yeah.
I do. Do I think at the end of the day they would be hiring somebody equivalent to James Franklin? I do.
Yeah.
And do I think he's the only one out there that would even check that box at this point? I do feel that way.
Yeah.
So I think he would be good for them. But is he a little bit of a you-know-what head, to your point? Yeah, he is.
I will tell you this. Chase and I, we found ourselves in the SEC Media Days in the auditorium watching the SEC documentary.
Mm-hmm.
How we got in there, I don't know. We're sitting with a bunch of SEC people. The first scene in the documentary is Brian Kelly. And, Chris, there was an audible groan. And Chase and I started laughing. I was like, nobody likes him. And you could feel nobody liked Brian Kelly. And, again, you have a good relationship. I don't know him at all.
It's cultural.
Yeah.
He's
but
a Yankee.
Everybody was like, ugh.
And sometimes it can be that simple. Like, you know, for me, I've been here for 20-something years. But there's times where I'm like, what am I doing here? Because I just, like, I'm born from a different, you know, like you – for whatever reason, even though it's a 9-hour drive, there is a big cultural difference. And I think, you know, from here to Chicago, I think for Brian Kelly, for him, and if you think you're good at football, you think you can do it anywhere.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
You can go, and I have a work ethic, and I have this, and I can go win. And I think for him, he gets to the South, and he realizes immediately he's a fish out of water. What happened to him with the family thing?
Yeah.
Is kind of interesting. You laugh about it, and I laugh too, and I had my fun.
Right.
But it's interesting because when I first started at MTSU, I went back home for Christmas break after my first year, and I would help my mom in the Rust-Oleum, the paint company, the cafeteria, right? So I'd go in there, she worked there, and I'd go help out, and I would work there in the summers, and so I would know everybody. And so they'd come up, and I'd be, you know, checking them out with their bagels and their cream cheese or whatever. And when I would talk to them, they'd be like, where did you pick up the fake accent? And I didn't even know it was happening. So it is kind of weird how you can be around people.
Yeah.
And here's what I think happened to Brian that day. I really do. I think he got there to Baton Rouge, and all of a sudden he's constantly around these different voices. And I think in his head there's some – and this is like – zooming out and getting into like the psychology and the science of it all.
Right.
But honestly, I think he, because like that day, all of a sudden in his head, that's what speaking sounded like.
Sure.
And so it came out really weird and inauthentic and awkward, and we've been having fun with him ever since.
Yes, we have.
Yes. Myself included.
Look,
right.
It's funny that you say that, because the 2017 year when the Preds made the run to the Cup, I was around them like every
day. You started talking Canadian.
I do it with
my brother-in-law.
Yeah, I would say like out and like.
Do you know my brother-in-law? He's a scout for the Capitals, but he's at every game.
I think I've met your brother.
Brian Sutherby.
Yeah, say hi to him next time.
He's a Capitals scout, and he played for the Caps. But he lives in the Governor's Club. And so when I hang out with him for a day.
Yeah.
100% it happens. I'll a booch. And, you know, like, you don't even think. He says, like,
sorry.
Garage. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry's one of them. Yeah. So
it happens.
Weird. Yeah. It kind of gets in your subconscious. But anyway.
The funny thing is, I, like, even today in 2025, almost 2026, I think we get this view of what a Big Ten coach looks like, or an SEC coach, or a West Coast coach. You know, they all, like, and Brian Kelly, like, when he got that job, I was like, man, that doesn't fit. Like, that's the Notre Dame guy. That's
you were
the Big
right.
Ten guy.
Yeah,
like,
and you were right.
But, like, you look at, you know, and even with Kalen DeBoer, like, that's weird to me. Like, he seems.
He might be the Penn State coach.
I mean.
Which would be a better fit for him.
Well, so what are they? So let's say that happens.
Does Daddy
just come out of retirement
for a couple of years, maybe to
does he
smooth
say,
it over?
Terry, I'm gonna go to work for a minute. Like,
in my heart of hearts, I don't think so. But then, in my heart of hearts, I think it's possible.
I could totally see it.
Right? Like, there's some part of me that thinks, like, for a couple of years, he'd be like, all right.
Or even if it's a year. Like, yeah. he tells the – who's the AD?
Oh, golly. Why am I blanking on his name?
He's been there for
– why am I not
It was
Bill Battle.
It was Bill Battle.
And the Alabama athletic director right now is
– gosh, I don't remember.
It's killing me.
It's
and
not
I,
Mal Moore.
No. That's old school. Golly.
Greg Bird.
Greg, thank you, who's at Arizona. You could have given me all day.
Right. Yeah. What about DeBoer goes to Penn State and then Kiffin leaves LSU for Bama?
See, I was wondering if he would have waited.
Right.
I really – like, if there was any way at all – so I tweeted this out the other day, and who knows if there's anything to it, but it was an interesting thought. During the Iron Bowl, I thought if they lose to Auburn, is there a way they boot his ass out today in higher lane?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and Lane is the guy, and then they kind of undercut LSU.
Yes.
Didn't happen, and they made the play. We'll see if they make the playoff. They got to have some help because Texas Tech cannot lose this week if they're going to get in because they dropped it. Well, are they nine? Alabama's nine.
Yeah.
But even still. See, that's a whole precarious
But if they lose and that's three losses.
It shouldn't matter unless they get drilled.
Yeah.
If they get
Which I hope they get drilled for another SEC school's sake.
Well, that's a whole nother 14th. Topic. And that's just.
Right.
It just drives me insane. Because here's what pisses me off about that. Here's what makes me so upset about Vanderbilt getting treated the way they're getting treated and getting put 14th. Please listen to me. Everybody out there that can listen to my voice. Everything, like today, I will tell you today, unequivocally, hand on a Bible, I will swear to you, that Vanderbilt right now is a better program, is a better team than the Tennessee Volunteers. Not today, but period. Not like for in the moment. They are, because you see what's happening. Vanderbilt's like Notre Dame. You let them out.
Yep.
The chancellor said, hey, we understand this is a front porch to our university. So now we're gonna lighten things up, at least from the transfer perspective, because it doesn't hurt our U.S. News ranking.
Yep.
So when you take transfer portal guys and you're not sacrificing your SAT, ACT scores, you don't hurt that ranking. So they can stay in the top 10, which is important to them.
Yep.
On top of it now, if you take all the transfer kids, it doesn't hurt that. And now you've got this football team. They took New Mexico State and took the best of it. Jerry Kill, Tim Beck, Diego Pavia, the Holy Trinity of New Mexico State, brought it in with others, brought an edge. They just went to Tennessee and walloped them.
Oh, yeah.
Just destroyed them. You look at Notre Dame's
resume.
Peter
Burns said belt to ass. That was his
exact.
Listen,
and that's what it was. Look at Notre Dame's resume this year. Notre Dame has the loss to Miami. They have the loss to Texas A&M, and that loss got worse this past weekend when Texas took it to them and dominated them in that game. You compare that to Vanderbilt, who go watch the Alabama game and tell me they didn't self-destruct and had every opportunity to be in that game.
The score didn't tell the whole story.
No, and then the Texas game, you know, they come back in that game, but they beat Tennessee on the road. The Missouri win, to me, should mean more than it does. Notre Dame's best win is USC. And the other win people were hanging – whose average is hell? I'm sorry. You put USC against Tennessee, I think that's a competitive game. Let alone I think Vanderbilt will run them off the field.
Yep.
So, to me, this is all about brand. The committee's doing nothing. The committee is sitting there. They're looking at how many wins you have. So, they're simply looking at a number, whether you're 11-1, 12-0, 10-2. Then, the ranking you based on brand. Which is why Notre Dame is in a good position, which is why Alabama is in a good position. You cannot convince me that Notre Dame has a better resume than Vanderbilt. You simply cannot do it. And to me, this is all based on brand recognition. But here's the deal. Everything you ever knew, I want to just grind this into your skulls. June 21st, 2021, everything changed. I would argue to you today, the best college football job in America is in Lubbock, Texas. It is the best funded. It is the one where Double Eagle Energy, Cody Sellers and Cody Campbell and another guy, John Sellers, those two gazillionaires, sold this company, Double Eagle Energy. They made billions of dollars. These were two ex-Texas Tech players. And they said, guess what? We're going to go play ball. Mm-hmm. And they've infused so much into that program. It's no coincidence that their softball program was a nothing burger and played for a national championship because those two bought Najee Kennedy for one of them's wife, who was an ex-softball player who wanted a nice birthday present. Here's the best player in the country. And it got them within a win in the national championship.
Yep.
That's what Texas Tech is. I would argue Vanderbilt, based on what you saw yesterday with the Curtis kid, everything you ever thought about Vanderbilt, take it, throw it away.
Yep.
Because there's a new reality. We are living in a world post-2021 that is completely different. Not to say, but the thing is, Ohio State has money. Alabama has money to an extent. So those big-time schools aren't going to go away. But the problem is now, if you're just giving brand recognition, you're doing it wrong because the brands have changed.
Because they're looking at the old brand.
Exactly. Vanderbilt is not what it was.
If you take Vanderbilt's roster, record, results, everything that happened this year, and you change the name to Tennessee,
they're
top 10.
Yeah, they're probably like eighth right now. Yeah.
Yep.
I think 100%.
I 100%.
And I think it's wrong.
It's so wrong.
And the hate for Diego Pavia is ridiculous. Like, Vanderbilt finally has, like, a legitimate college football player. And, yeah, his family's in the news and doing stuff. Well, look at all the other SEC schools.
Right.
Like, they're finally playing ball.
Half of Georgia's team is,
I'm saying.
Like, can't drive right now.
Last I saw, his mom didn't score a touchdown.
No, and what is his mom? She's dancing. What? So what?
Keep on dancing, Chris.
She's having a good time. Listen, the brother and all that, public intoxication, that's another story. Don't do that. You know, but, again, we saw the thing in Ireland at the beginning of the year with the Kansas State quarterback's dad beating the hell out of his brother on the street.
Brother. So a question
stuff happens.
You.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the break. Question for you. Should he win the Heisman? Don't answer.
Tease.
Yes.
Look at you.
Don't answer.
Nice.
Chris Childers is with us. SiriusXM. We'll have more with him from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Hanging out with Chris Childers, SiriusXM. Does full ride?
Yeah.
Full ride. With Rick Neuheisel.
Mm-hmm.
How many years now?
We figured it out. We have been 10 and a half together.
That's what I thought.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, he left. Where did he go? Was that when he went to UCLA?
It was after UCLA. So he got let go at UCLA after they played in the first ever Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah.
And so he gets let go. He starts working for us. He worked kind of part-time-ish for a year, and then I think we went, became partners the year after that. So, it's been a decade plus of working with the man.
The best job.
He has a great story about our very own Derek Mason from when
he was
like quarterback's coach with the Ravens, and Derek was just –
Give me the ball.
Give me the ball. Give me the ball.
Give me the ball. All right, Chris, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Why will Diego Pavia not win the Heisman Trophy?
All right, so the reason he won't win the Heisman Trophy is if Fernando Mendoza and or Julian Sain put on a just marvelous show on Saturday night. I think especially Fernando Mendoza. When you're the quarterback, and this was the year, you know, he replaced Curtis Rourke at quarterback. Indiana, went to the playoff a year ago. But when Mendoza took over there, nobody was thinking, hey, Fernando Mendoza is going to be this incredible replacement for Curtis Rourke, and it's going to go so smooth. And nobody thought Indiana was going back to the playoff this year.
Yeah,
I'd met Mendoza at ACC Media Days the year before when he was playing for Cal. Unassuming. I never thought twice about the guy. I remember talking to him. I remember taking a picture with him. But I didn't think twice about him. But I do remember asking him. So his reality was at Cal, I know it sounds crazy as like, you know, normal people. But they had to take a Southwest flight to Media Days from Berkeley, California. Well, everybody, and it was delayed.
Oh, gosh.
And everybody else was taking private because this is major college football. And that's Charlotte from California, right? So from San Francisco, I think it was. So insane. That was the life that he was living, you know, kind of a vagabond. Yeah. And then he goes to Indiana and comes in, and he's looking to be the number one pick in the draft. Nobody would have thought that possible. Because of that and the way that he's played, I think if he wows against Ohio State, he wins the Heisman Trophy. Julian Sain, if he goes in against that Indiana defense that's been so good all year and goes 33 for 33 or something nuts like that and four touchdowns and Ohio State wins big, Julian Sain probably wins the Heisman Trophy. If it's a 17-14 game and it's a slug-it-out defensive battle, Diego Pavia wins the Heisman Trophy. Now, I will tell you this. As a voter, you're not allowed to tip your hand. But I will, you know what, I'll tip it a little bit into the fact that it's going to take a lot for me personally to not put Diego Pavia on the number one line, considering what he's done to literally transform an entire program overnight. Yeah.
Will his antics and off the field, this and that, hurt him?
It depends. I think it almost goes back to our last conversation. There's going to be people in parts of the country that don't care. You know, being a kid from the Midwest, being a kid from Chicago, those kind of antics are fine to me. They're normal to me. I wasn't raised in the Bible Belt. So I was raised in a Catholic community where the priest would go outside and drink off the keg. So it was a little different. Smoke a cigarette, you'd see, you know. So it was a little different. So, you know, from a Bible Belt mentality, and there's a lot of voters in the southeastern part of the country, I could see them holding it against him. Now, I think what works in his favor is that he's the SEC candidate. And they might overlook it. They might overlook antics to vote for him number one, especially in a part of the country where maybe they would judge him a little harder for the church and the, you know, this and that that's got him all the attention.
Sure.
Because I do think there are going to be people that look at an Indiana quarterback and an Ohio State quarterback and simply because, and it's not right, but simply because of who they are and where they play, they're going to look at the guy that's the Heisman candidate and say, well, he did it in the SEC. That's more impressive to me. And probably give him the vote accordingly. But this is a wide open Heisman race, I think, going into, to a certain degree.
Right.
Going into the weekend.
If Mendoza is not the quarterback in Indiana, are they 11-0 or are they 6-5?
See, that's the question. I want to say, look, he's been amazing. He's played himself into being a top draft pick. So you want to say that he is a real big reason that they were 11-0. However, they were in the playoff last year. So to me, Kurt Cignetti is the biggest reason that they're 11-0. Their head coach. Diego Pavia clearly, as great of a job Clarkley has done, it's obvious that a couple of years ago, out of desperation, because they had 43 transfers leave the program, they had to go to the chancellor. And they had to say, hey, we need help. And that help came in the form of loosening up the transfer restrictions.
Sure.
And it came in number two. But Clarkley, make no mistake, Clarkley saw that film.
Yeah.
He saw New Mexico State beat Auburn.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you he made a call to Jerry Kill and said, how'd you do that? And then when they had the chance to, they brought them all.
Yeah. Which was
all of them.
They brought them all.
Stowers with them?
Yeah. Stowers.
Yeah.
Changed the whole thing.
Right.
Which is another study in its own right of, like, New Mexico State having that kind of talent. And that's how high school football recruiting has changed.
Yeah.
You know, we had signing day yesterday. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. Because the kids,
right,
half of them are going to leave. Yep. What does it even mean
anymore?
Well,
Vandy fans cared a little bit.
Well, that one,
you know,
different.
Yeah, right?
That's different.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick,
yeah,
off of that. Vandy flipping a wide receiver from Alabama.
I know
Curtis is fantastic, but flipping a wide receiver, I was like, what? I thought it was a fake account.
Goes to show you what we said earlier. And I think this is where people need to really see this. They need to understand this is it's hitting them in the face. When that happens, it just goes to show you we have changed. Everything is different.
Yep.
This was not possible 3 years ago.
Right.
It's happening now, and they got the number one quarterback. Like, this is a different world. Vandy obviously has NIL and collective. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
They are competing financially, which means, here's the thing. If you tell me what's more powerful than taking competitive NIL and then matching that with the ability to get a degree from Vanderbilt, which then maximizes your ability to make more money if you don't play pro football after school, which gives you a heads up in the business. There is not a better sell in the Southeastern Conference.
You are correct.
There is not a better sell. So because now they have the ability, and really it's the transfer portal. You're not going to see Vanderbilt kick butt in high school recruiting unless the kid is an absolute academic whiz. And I think clearly that quarterback is.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Yeah.
Got to be some sort of, you know, 3-5, 3-0 kind of kid. But the transfer portal,
right?
Those are the ones you can go supplement your roster. And, like, who's the kid I was talking to today? Why am I blanking? He was on our show, the offensive lineman for Vandy. Transfer from Minnesota.
Oh, gosh.
Golly, I'm forgetting his name. But either way, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It's that, you know, and he even said it. I transferred to Vanderbilt. All of a sudden, I'm going to get a Vandy degree. And I changed the program.
Right.
Like, sure, I'm coming. And the facility now is good.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That facility
was getting better.
I know. And it was the worst.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was like, I used to say it was the only stadium that was reinforced with tinfoil. Like, it was it was brutal.
And look, Franklin got that.
He did.
Say what you want, but Franklin got that ball rolling.
100% he did. I remember having that conversation with Herb Hand.
Herb Hand.
Before, yeah, the offensive line, great guy. Yeah. But having that conversation at a spring game where he said, you know, they're really trying to make this a destination job.
Yeah.
And fast forward 10 years, it's – you see what Clark Lee's getting paid now?
Cade McConnell.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Dr. Green. We'll have more with –
awesome, awesome kid.
Yeah.
Oh, really good kid.
We'll have more with Chris Childers coming up next, including a coach – has basically said he's not interested in Penn State. That just came out. And you can see him right there. We'll tell you who. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Coach, I know this is a little off topic, but since we're all here for 30 minutes, just what do you think when people link you to the Penn State job and say that you and your family aren't happy at Alabama?
Yeah. We are extremely happy at Alabama. It's the first time I've been asked, so I appreciate you, Charlie. And we are extremely happy here. Love the challenge, love the grind, love this place. And there's never been any link. There's never been any conversation. There's never been any interest either way. And so I'm glad we can put that to bed right now.
Fire it up. DeBoer, when asked about the Penn State job,
he looks miserable. He's
I feel like I remember a coach saying that they were not going to take the Alabama job at one point in time, too, when they were coaching the Miami Dolphins.
St. Nicholas.
Now,
he said it over and over.
He did.
Not going to be the Alabama coach.
He was adamant. Now, I think there are a lot of people that are glad he lied and ended up going back on that. But nonetheless.
I always like that because it's like all the Alabama fans. Like, all right, who coached before Saban? They're like, and they're like, if you – Alabama fan.
Mike Shula.
Truly know how that all came with Shula. And
it was Michael.
Mike Price and Francione and Dubose and everybody is like, oh, man.
Oh, yes.
Who coached the bowl game after Shula got fired? What's that guy's name?
It wasn't Woody McCorvey, was it?
No, because he has the great interview.
He's a he's got the voice, right?
Yeah. He's like, but he had the great soundbite at halftime of the game. Who was that guy?
He reminds me of the guy that works for the Predators. He's got that like that voice.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? But he's got golly, I can't remember.
This is
it
killing
either.
Me. This
I,
is
I
killing
don't know.
Me. Joe Kynes.
Joe Kynes.
Joe Kynes. That's
that was it. He's got Joe Kynes.
Yep. Wow.
To the point. Yeah, of how Alabama has changed post Nick Saban.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. I asked you a question during the break. And I said, right now, national championship winner is, and you said?
I said Texas Tech.
Really?
I did. I think they're the best team in the country. I really, and I almost am willing it into existence because I want it to be, I think Texas Tech plays Indiana for the national championship.
Love to see that.
I would love that.
And maybe I'm nuts, you know, maybe so. But I've stressed over and over again as I've sat here how things are different, how the era changed, how who's competitive is different. If you watch Texas Tech football, they've got an incredible offense. That's one thing. So they can score. They got the quarterback, Baron Morton, all that. But defensively, I just want you that, you know, Rodriguez at linebacker is great. They've got a defensive line, and they've got the ability to get after the quarterback with guys that are legitimate NFL first, second round guys. And this is no coincidence. They didn't, like, grow them on trees. They bought them.
Yeah,
they have a ton of money. Like, they just have so much. When you sell an energy company for billions and you say, as an alum, this is how I want to spend my money, it's the greatest day in the world of the university. Yeah, you're essentially the owner. Yeah, you're a pseudo-owner. It's like Phil Knight in Oregon. So I just think defensive – I've always said you're only as good as your line of scrimmage defensively. You know, you can be whatever you want to be, but you're not going to win a championship unless you can attack the quarterback. And they do it as good as anybody. And I think they're better on the line of scrimmage than anybody in the Southeast. I think they are better than Ohio State up front, which is saying something. Indiana, I just think they're that good. And Indiana is just kind of the total package. Ohio State will be interesting to me because Ohio State hasn't played anybody the entire season besides Texas week one.
Yes.
At all.
Yep.
So I don't know what they are. I have no idea. I think they're really good. I think, but are they national title good or are they playoff good, right? I don't know. We'll find out.
Could Indiana have done that? Well, of course they didn't. Did the portal make Indiana what they are now?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kurt Cignetti, and that's what – so if you look at what's going on with Arkansas – Ryan Silverfield, Alex Golish, remind me of who the other hired this was in the
Summerall.
Summerall, thank you, at Florida. Essentially what those hires are is you're trying to get the next Kurt Cignetti. So you're trying to, A, get that guy that understands how to operate in this new era in NIL and portal, and you're trying to get a guy that's going to bring together the bulk of his roster, that's going to come in and give you a base that's going to help you have success, and then you add with the transfer portal and you add with high school recruiting. It's essentially what he did. He took James Madison, and he brought the core of his team from James Madison and made the playoff. And this year, there's still a bunch of those guys there. On top of that, they've given him resources in the portal. Indiana, kind of weirdly, you know, they bring the – nobody thought Kurt Cignetti was going to do what he's doing right now.
Nobody.
Nobody. But what's incredible is that once it looked possible, the school was like, or the alumni was like, we've been saving our basketball nickels and dimes. We'll be glad to give this to football. And it's incredible right now because I think it's sustainable with Kurt Cignetti. I don't think it changes anytime soon. I think he's just got it going.
Right.
And it's incredible how he's completely changed the culture of that school.
Is Mark Cuban the GM? What, how does he figure out the football? He does something with football
it's
now.
It's not GM, but it's some, well, is he?
It's something.
It's some sort of.
Well, he's money, right?
He's money.
Yeah.
Which is what it is.
Yeah.
It's money. It's backing. It's, think about all the businesses that he's associated with that you can get legitimate above table NIL deals with now. Hell, watch Shark Tank, and there's going to be, you know, 500 examples of it. So, it's incredible what they've done, and they've almost made it to the basketball program doesn't matter.
Isn't that crazy?
It's
right?
Crazy.
Who is – you don't have to answer if you don't want to. Who's an imposter that's in the 12 right now? Like, they're going to get bounced game one.
I worry about Ole Miss getting whipped because of what's going on. I just think it's way too much to overcome. It's real. I mean, these are real people, real kids, real emotions. Lane can call it as transactional as he wants to. And – he clearly has. He, you know, the kids are coming here for money, and they don't care, and we don't care. Well, the reason you are making this money is because we care as fans. So you better understand that, because without them, you're not making anything. But I think, you know, I Ole Miss to me would be an opponent I want to play, I think, if I'm in there. I'd like to play Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's good. I'm not sure they're great. I think if you take away Jeremiah Love.
Yep.
And make CJ Carr beat you. They do not have the guys on the outside. They're gonna hurt you.
I love Marcus Freeman though.
I do too.
I think he's
too.
A hell of a coach.
100%. But I think they can be handled.
Yeah, I agree.
And then we'll see what else happens in the playoff. You know, the group of five representative.
BYU is interesting.
They will be really interesting. You know, the thing about BYU, that you got to always think about. They might have a little less talent, but all those kids are men. Mm-hmm. You know, they go.
No, you're right.
Joe laughs, but
they go for red
they
shirt.
Go on the missions too
for two. So
2 years.
By the time they get back, they're 4 years into it
and married, and have
right? Kids
a lot of times.
Yes.
So like, you will get my little league football coach is a guy by the name of Glenn Kozlowski. Glenn played for BYU. He was the 84 Holiday Bowl captain. They won the title that year. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And he played for the Bears. Special team guy for the Bears, and he does. I don't know if he still does, but he did WGN radio, pregame, postgame for the Bears, all that. So he went to BYU, and I got an education on it, big time. And his kids ended up going there. His kid, Brent, and his kid, Tyler, both played for BYU. And I remember I was the same age as Brent, and I'm pretty sure I was getting ready to graduate college when he was starting on the football team. Like, we were the same age.
Right.
But I think I was getting ready to start a job, and he was getting ready to play college football because of the fact that when he graduated high school, I'm pretty sure he went immediately on a 2-year mission.
Yep. Did he get redshirted?
Got redshirted, went on a 2-year mission, and then comes back. I know he got married. And so then it's like you're a full-functioning adult.
Yeah.
And then you're playing college football.
Military deferments and the religious exemptions, you get that. Real quick before we go to the break, every year when they play the College World Series in Omaha, the fans out there get behind the underdog, right? Mm-hmm. Is Ole Miss or – I know you want to play him, but I secretly want them to win the whole thing. Like, I'm rooting for Ole Miss to go all the way just to piss off Lane Kiffin.
I'm rooting for that too.
Chaos.
I disdain Lane so much. On a human level, I just have zero respect for him as a man that I would love to see Pete Golding just stick.
Yes.
It to him. Yeah. I would love it. I would love it. That would be awesome. Is there like an America's team this year? It would have been
Look,
Vandy.
If Vandy gets
it would have been Vandy.
If Vandy got in, I think a lot of people would be.
It would have been Vandy. Yeah, of course. It absolutely would have been Vandy. Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact of the matter is we kind of just accept them as great. They're Indiana. You know what I mean? Like that, and that goes to show you what Cignetti's been able to do in 2 years, where we're like, yeah, they're Indiana. They're awesome. You know, we just give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm like going through Indiana, like DiNardo, Lee Corso. Bill Mallory.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure there's some I've left out, but
I'm forgetting the guy. There was an Cam Cameron. There was an Oklahoma offensive coordinator, Kevin Wilson. He was their coach. who was the guy that was just there? That's with the glasses.
I don't even know.
Yeah,
they're so irrelevant. Remember. I don't even know.
Yeah, I know.
Bobby Knight.
He's probably rolled over
essentially. Yeah. So you talk about hitting lightning in a bottle.
Yes.
I mean that was the best hire maybe ever, like without even knowing it.
Yep.
With Kurt Cignetti.
So along those lines, and answer this when we come back. Mm-hmm. Because of the change of how everything has changed, like I just pulled up the list of national champions for the last 20 years, mm-hmm. and they're basically all blue blood names.
Yeah.
Don't answer this yet. Is that going away? We'll discuss coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Just joins us from SiriusXM, College Sports. So you look at the last 20 years, Chasing Big Joe live at the Omni, and you obviously Alabama's had their run. You know, LSU's got one, Florida State, mm-hmm. Ohio State. You know, Clemson kind of had their run in there, Georgia, Michigan. Pretty much your household blue blood college football names.
Yeah.
With the change that took place, what was it, June 21st, 2021?
2021, yep.
Could you see now, especially with an expanded playoff, that the blue bloods are never going to not be there, but maybe not as prevalent, where you could have your Indianas or your Texas Techs or Vanderbilt, whatever, that are competing for it.
You follow the money, because even though we set a cap with the – and that's another court case, the House settlement.
Yeah.
To me, there's no way that sticks. There's just no way. There's absolutely – take that to litigation and you'll win, because bottom line is this. It's really not a novel concept. It's something that we have precedent in every other sport. In order for you to put a cap on somebody's earnings from a professional sports environment, you have to have collective bargaining.
Right.
The players have got to have some say. So they were making a certain amount of money. Texas Tech was one of them that front-loaded it. before the House settlement went into effect. So they paid all these players right before that deadline, right? So they got all ahead of it. There's no way that you're going to be able to restrict what players make, which is what they're trying to do by adding a salary cap, unless the players actually have a seat at the table. It's not going
to
pass.
Which they're going to have to.
Yeah, it's not going to pass muster. It's not within the rules of the way we do things in a free market in the United States of America. So with that said, to your point, yes. To me, Memphis, if Fred Smith had not have passed away, I believe that if Fred Smith wanted to, Fred Smith could have made Memphis the best team in the country.
Yep.
I see that happening at Texas Tech with Sellers and Campbell. Larry Ellison is doing it with Michigan. They're just a work in progress, but they're going to get there with a young quarterback, which Moore and Underwood. So to me, the answer is absolutely. If you have a sugar daddy who is, or several, a pseudo owner that is willing to fund the team, it does not matter. It could be Middle Tennessee. I've said it forever. I said, if I'm MTSU, I'm going to every single one of these football maniac country music artists. I'm going to the rich ones. And I'm saying, hey, I know you're a Georgia fan. I know you're this fan, like Luke Bryan or whatever. But do you want to own a team?
Right.
Like, do you want to actually, I'll give you the power. I'll give you the everything. This is yours. Go. Make us great. Like, that's what I would do. And I think it could happen anywhere as long as you have money.
Let me ask you this before we go. Why do you love college football?
Well, I did love it. It's a little weird now. I fell in love with it because of everything that pro sports doesn't have. So I grew up in Chicagoland. So I love Broadway. And stay with me. Because the fans, the bands, the students, it's a production. It is far more than a football game. You go to a Titans game on Sunday.
Yawn.
Go to a game in Knoxville or Tuscaloosa or wherever, even Vanderbilt now, it's incredible.
Yes.
It's a completely different kind of experience. It's a show on top of a game. And so that's what I fell in love with. I remember my first seeing my Notre Dame's marching band on the field. And that whole pregame show and all that. And then the Irish guard with the kilts. And I'm like, this is off the charts.
Yeah, you know, right.
Like, this is as a kid. So I fell in love with it. And growing up, everybody that I was friends with was just pro sports fans. So I kind of was different because I was the one guy, and I was a big Notre Dame fan. The one guy, it has a lot to do with my grandfather, that I was the one dude in my like middle school that was just college football, college football, college football. Everybody else just cared about the Bears. The 9-3 Bears.
Yeah. Right, the 9-3 Bears. They're A.
I don't know how to handle it.
Right?
Well, it's
I'm a lifelong fan, and it makes me feel weird.
I texted, you may remember Ryan Porth, who works, now works for The Score in Chicago.
670, yeah.
And I was just like, are they, like, is this real? And at first, everybody up there was just like, no way it was going
to
happen.
The last week was the, if they win this week, we actually think we can go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, now everybody is just kind of like, okay, they're actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got the right coach, the right quarterback.
They got the right coach.
Which, you know, yeah, definitely.
Which, who do you, we'll talk about it off the air, I'd really like to see Kevin Sumlin end up here.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be interesting, for sure.
I didn't gobble him up in a second.
Thanks so much for doing this.
You're welcome.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
We'll do it again soon. Chris Childers, SiriusXM, College Sports Radio, Channel 84. Check him out. What time are you on, Full Ride?
8 Central till 11.
8 till 11, Monday through Friday with the coach, Rick Neuheisel. We'll shift gears. We'll talk some hockey and some Preds with Greg Wyshynski. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.